Turn in your Bibles this morning to the book of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 1. If you're using a Bible that's provided for you, that's way far to the right, page 1366. 1366. Let's take time this morning to celebrate moms, to appreciate moms, and to encourage moms in the tremendous responsibilities that they have. Let's pray together. Father, we do pray for moms. I pray that you would remind moms of how important they are, the influence that they have. Lord, encourage moms this morning. And I pray that we would all come around moms and support them. Bless them in all the work they do. Lord, by the power of your Holy Spirit, may we understand great truth from your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. 2 Timothy is the last letter written by Paul the Apostle. He wrote this letter in a prison cell in Rome. Shortly after he writes this letter, he will be martyred for his faith in Jesus Christ. According to church tradition, he is beheaded for his faith at the hands of the Roman emperor named Nero. So literally, these are his last words. And who does he choose to write to at the end of his life? And he knew this was the end of his life. Who does he choose to write to? A wonderful close friend and co-worker in the ministry, a young man by the name of Timothy. Look what we read in verse 1. It says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus. To who? To Timothy, a beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father in Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God who I've served with a pure conscience as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy. Timothy is one of the greatest examples of a Christian man that you find in the entire New Testament. Just a wonderful man of God. The name Timothy means honoring God, and that's how he lived. He lived according to that name. His whole life honored God. The name Timothy also means, and I like this, dear to God. Timothy was dear to God. He was also very dear to the church, to Christians. And he was also dear to Paul the Apostle. Paul loved Timothy. The last letter he writes to Timothy. In verse 2, Paul calls Timothy his beloved son. Timothy was like a beloved son to Paul. In verse 3, Paul says, Timothy, night and day without ceasing, I pray for you. I love you, buddy. I'm thinking about you and praying for you all the time. In verse 4, Paul says, man, I desire to see you, Timothy, because when I'm with you, you fill me with joy. Just a tremendous friendship and respect for Timothy, because Paul and Timothy, they had a lot of time together. Timothy was born in a city called Lystra in Asia Minor, and it's believed that Paul met Timothy in Lystra on his first missionary journey. And Timothy was a teenager at the time. Teenager, imagine meeting Paul the Apostle. That's what Timothy got to meet, the Apostle Paul. And it's believed that Paul led Timothy to faith in Jesus Christ at that time. 2 years later, Paul revisits the city of Lystra on his second missionary journey, meets up with Timothy, and at this time, Timothy joins the missionary team. And for the next 20 years, Timothy will minister with Paul the Apostle. Timothy will travel with Paul on the mission field. Paul will disciple Timothy in the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul will mentor Timothy in the ministry. And through all of this, Timothy is a man who is used mightily by the Lord in church history. He mightily serves in a supportive role to Paul. You know, a lot of people don't like the support role. But Timothy played that role very effectively. We know that Timothy was a great administrator. We know that Timothy ran very important errands for Paul. He was sent with letters to various local churches. Timothy was entrusted with extremely sizable financial offerings that he would take with him through the ancient world to help various churches in various places. Timothy became a mighty missionary in his own right, used mightily in those very crucial early days of the church when it's spreading. Timothy was an evangelist. He preached the gospel. Many people came to Christ through his preaching. Timothy was a teacher. He knew doctrine. He taught churches doctrine. On several occasions, Paul sent Timothy to local churches to correct doctrine. Timothy was a pastor. He would serve as the pastor of different local churches intermittently. Timothy had the authority to order worship in local churches. He had the authority to appoint elders and deacons in churches. 6 times, the name Timothy is found in the beginning of a letter written by Paul in the New Testament, suggesting possibly that Timothy served as a co-author of 6 New Testament letters. God used this man mightily. And Timothy was absolutely committed to the Lord Jesus. There's not one incident in his life where we read of him regressing. He's faithful. He suffered persecution, just like Paul. Timothy was imprisoned for his faith in Christ, sometimes with Paul, sometimes without Paul. Timothy was beaten for his faith. Timothy suffered economic persecution for his faith. It's also believed that Timothy had a constant health issue that he had to deal with, much like Paul the Apostle. He was sickly. But even despite that, for 20 years, serving on the mission field and beyond, after Paul the Apostle was martyred, according to church tradition, Timothy remained in Ephesus until 97 AD during a pagan celebration of a feast called Catagogion. Timothy severely reproved the people in the procession for the ridiculous idolatry. The antagonized partygoers in turn beat him with clubs in so dreadful a manner that he expired of the bruises 2 days later. He was essentially also a martyr for his faith in Christ Jesus, for standing for integrity. The character qualities of Timothy were top-notch. He was a man of great reputation, the scripture says. Everyone who knew Timothy saw him as a great man. He was faithful to the Lord. He was reliable to Paul. He was reliable to the church. When Timothy said yes, it meant yes. When he committed to something, he followed through. You could count on him. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12 tells us that young Timothy, again, even though a young man, set an example for every Christian in word, the way he spoke, in conduct, the way he acted, in love. Timothy was an example of unconditional love for the body of Christ. In spirit, he was an example. Timothy was sensitive to the Holy Spirit. He was a man who was governed by the Holy Spirit, empowered by the Holy Spirit, moved and operated in the Spirit. It says that Timothy was an example for everyone in faith. It says that Timothy, the young man Timothy, was an example for everyone in purity. He maintained a sexually pure lifestyle. The only weakness that we know for Timothy was the fact that he may have been a little too timid at times. Certain times he seemed to shy back, and Paul would have to come along and set a fire under him and get him going again. But you put all of that together, and you find out that this Timothy is the highest quality man. He's top drawer. He'd be like the greatest guy you could ever meet. Used so mightily and so consistently all the way till his dying breath. That's Timothy. And that begs the question that I'd like to ask and answer this morning. How did Timothy get that way? How did he become that man? Where did it all start for him? Some would say, well, it all started when he met Paul. Paul led him to Christ, right? And then mentored him and discipled him. There is no doubt that Paul played a huge influence in Timothy's life. But that's not where it all started. For Timothy, it started much earlier. As a kid. In his childhood. Look at verse 3 again. He says, I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your whom? Grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded is in you also. Timothy had two wonderful godly women in his life. A grandma, Grandmother Lois, and his mother named Eunice. These two women of God shaped Timothy in the formidable years of his life. Paul says to Timothy here, Paul, Timothy, when I look into your life, I see a genuine faith. There's a genuine faith in you. And that genuine faith was first in your grandma. And she, in turn, conveyed that genuine faith to your mom. And together, those two ladies, grandmother and mother, conveyed that genuine faith to you. And this is, listen carefully, genuine faith. Genuine faith. Grandma and mom had genuine faith. This is the Greek word, ahupokritos. It's putting an A next to the Greek word hupokritos. A negates. So, literally, their faith is unhypocritical. It was a faith that was without pretense. It was real. It was obvious. It wasn't fake. It wasn't some traditional religious kind of faith, you know, something that just the family does. They didn't say to Timothy, listen, your great-grandmother had this faith, your grandmother had this faith, I have, and by golly, you're going to have this faith too. No, it was real. It was not with any hypocrisy. And Timothy saw that. Let me just tell you right now, kids know what's real and they know what's fake, don't they? Kids can tell if parents talk the talk or walk the talk. Timothy saw genuine faith in his mother and his grandmother. He saw them live it out. It was real to them. And they were able to convey it to him. There's no doubt that grandma and mom disciplined Timothy. They steered Timothy in the ways of the Lord. Their words to them, to him, their advice to him, the boundaries that they set in his life. Absolutely no doubt. And I just want to say this, moms and grandmas, listen. God has uniquely gifted you to pour spiritual truth into your children. You just have this quality naturally as mom to touch the hearts of your kids in a very special way. A little boy was told by his mother that it was God who makes people good. And the little boy replied, yes, I know it's God, but mothers help quite a bit, don't they? Yes, they do. Moms, you have such an important role. Even in the life of your children that are older. There's just something about mom. I heard about a high school student who graduated, comes from a Christian home, went to college. And he filled his wall with indecent pictures in his dorm room. And all of a sudden, mom came for an unexpected visit. She never said a word about the pictures or gave any indication that she had noticed them. But before she left, she hung a picture of Jesus Christ in the middle of all those other pictures. The next time she came for a visit, one picture on the wall. The picture of Jesus. Moms are like that. Very quiet sometimes, but very powerful. Timothy grew up with women like that. And it impacted him. Immensely. I want you to notice something else that Paul says to Timothy here in this letter. Would you turn to chapter 3 real quick? Look what Paul says to Timothy in verse 14. Chapter 3. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you've learned them, and that from childhood you have known the what? The Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. What did Timothy know from childhood? The Holy Scriptures. Who taught Timothy the Holy Scriptures? Grandma and Mom. Lois and Eunice. I see them kind of as tag team Bible preachers, right? Just blitzing their grandson and their son with Scripture. Now, in those days, Scripture was the Old Testament. So from the earliest of ages, they were teaching Timothy all the wonderful stories of the Old Testament. Probably all about the law, of course, and the idea of the temple in Jerusalem and the Sabbath and all those Jewish traditional laws they taught Timothy. They probably also taught Timothy much about what the Old Testament says concerning a Messiah that would come. The promises of a Messiah that would one day come and redeem mankind. And so you sort of put all that together. When Paul came to town in Lystra on that first missionary journey, Jesus has come. Paul is preaching the gospel, telling people about what Jesus has done at the cross. And I believe that Paul actually led Grandma, Mom, and Timothy to Christ in that first missionary journey. But please understand that the foundation had been laid. The understanding of Scripture had been put there in Timothy's life at a very, very early age. That made all the difference in the world for Timothy. Parent, listen carefully. Listen. It is so important that we do those two things for our kids. Mom, Dad, have a genuine faith. Live a genuine faith. Teach a genuine faith. And then also teach the Scriptures to our children. Listen, don't get in your mind that it's okay for your child to learn a little bit about God once a week at Sunday school over there. Don't you get it in your mind that your kids are going to be just fine as long as you have them in a Christian school? Nope. They have to hear spiritual truth from mom and dad. You have to be active. Mom, Dad, I know we want great things for our kids. We want them to excel in school. We want them to do well in whatever activity that we see God's blessed them with, be music or a sport or a career, and how we want to come along and help and direct. Oh yeah, do that. But don't ever forget these two things. Genuine faith. Teaching of the Scripture. Now, I want you to notice something, and you've probably already noticed this. Where were the men in Timothy's life? Where was Grandpa? Where was Dad? Not mentioned, huh? It would appear that the prominent men in young Timothy's life were missing, at least from a spiritual perspective. It's most likely that Grandpa was already deceased, But what about Timothy's dad? Well, we actually know about Timothy's dad. In Acts chapter 16, we're told that Timothy's dad was a non-believing Greek Gentile man. So Eunice had married a non-believer. Something that shouldn't be done, but we don't know the circumstances around it, but she did. And this non-believing Gentile Greek husband did not care about Jewish beliefs, did not care about the Old Testament. In fact, we know that Timothy was not even circumcised, though born of a Jewish mom. Dad said, nope, he won't be circumcised. Boy, I'll bet there was a fight in the house over that one, don't you? So Timothy's dad was like, nope, I don't want anything to do with this. The burden of the spiritual development in the life of young Timothy rests solely upon the shoulders of Eunice, his mom. And of course, she was also helped by her mother, Lois. Look what God did. Look what God did through that mom. Sisters in Christ, I realize that some of you here this morning are single mothers. And how hard it is to be a single mom. How difficult that might be. And maybe you wonder, is there real hope for my children? Can I see them become great men and women of God? Yes, yes, yes. Look what God did through Eunice. You pour your heart. You pour spiritual truth into your kids. Maybe single mom, divorced, and you share custody with your kids. And you think, well, I don't get to see them very often. When you do, pour truth into their hearts. Look what God can do. Sister in Christ, maybe you're here this morning and you're married to somebody who does not believe in Christ. You have a non-believing husband. Or maybe you're married to a Christian, but your Christian husband has sort of checked out. And you feel very much like you raise the kids alone. Listen, if you're in that situation, don't get mad at your husband. Just raise your children in the ways of the Lord. Pour your heart, pour spiritual truth into them. Look what God did through Eunice. Look who Timothy became. Now listen, guys, my brothers, the healthiest situation would be for both husband and wife to love Jesus Christ and to work as a team in raising children in the ways of the Lord. Amen? That would be the most healthiest. So maybe you're that guy and you know Christ and you're married, but you're not the spiritual leader of your home. You don't show any interest. You're the one that says, "Oh, that's for my wife." Listen, the best Mother's Day you could give your wife today would be to commit that you're going to join her in raising those kids in the ways of the Lord. Be the leader of your home. Or maybe you're here and you think, well, I don't know Christ. Maybe you came to church because it's Mother's Day and you wanted to bless your wife. Listen, I have a very strong exhortation for you. Your wife needs a Christian husband, and your kids desperately need a Christian dad. Desperately. And you know what else? You yourself desperately need Jesus. He needs to be your Lord and Savior. The greatest Mother's Day gift you could give would be to give your heart to Christ. Let him save you. So important. Do you see how influential moms are? You know, I think even in a very solid, healthy Christian home, moms, man, they have this ability to influence children so greatly. Abraham Lincoln said, "No man is poor who has a godly mother." George Washington said, and I quote, "My mother was the most beautiful woman I ever saw. All I am, I owe to my mother. I attribute my success in life to the moral, intellectual, and physical education I received from her." Oh, the influence. I stand before you this morning as, I believe, a product of a godly mom and a godly grandma. Oh, my grandma, Melinda Buller from Oklahoma. She's in heaven now. I had the honor of officiating her funeral service. And I stood in a church before a large family and a group of friends that celebrated the life of my grandma, a godly woman. I actually found her personal testimony, which I read right before my family at that service. Here's what she said. Here's her personal testimony. She says, "How fortunate for anyone being born in America to Christian church-going parents. I remember going to church when quite young. I'm thankful my parents took me, even though it was a church speaking High German and I couldn't understand it. However, we as a family later attended church services we could understand. I was 17 years old when I was saved. The church had a custom that all had to take a catechism class before being baptized or joining church. I took the lessons with the class, but really didn't apply them to my life. The time came to be baptized. We met as a class with the minister of the church. We were all asked personally how we knew we were saved. I didn't know and couldn't say that I had salvation or accepted Jesus as my Savior. The minister told me to find the scripture verse found in Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26, where it states that God will take away the stony heart out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I went home and I knelt by my bed and seriously asked Christ to come into my heart. Jesus did just that. I felt as light as a feather, peace that passes all understanding. I loved to read God's word. I became a new creature. All things passed away. All things became new. My temper was controlled, which was one of my weaknesses. Others took notice of me. Mother told me she had noticed I was different. She says, I'm so thankful Jesus can make you that way. He can take away your hard, stony heart and give you a soft, tender heart. He can mold your heart and make it for his honor and glory. Praise his wonderful name. I remember well reading that testimony and everyone acknowledging, yep, she's a woman of God. She had a genuine faith, and then she passed that genuine faith to my mom. And you know, my mom's story is a lot like Eunice. She actually married a non-believer. My dad was a non-believer. My earliest childhood memories are of my mom getting me up, combing my hair, getting me ready, taking me to Sunday school. By the grace of God, my dad eventually did become a Christian because my mom prayed him into the kingdom. Literally prayed my dad into the kingdom. I look back at my family, and it all started with mom. It started with grandma. Moms, understand the influence you have. I encourage you this morning. Be that voice of godliness in your family. You say, well, I became a Christian later on and my kids have grown up. Or maybe you feel like you've failed as a mom and you know, you became a Christian after your kids moved out and maybe they're struggling in life right now and you feel, listen, start now. Start now. Come to Christ. Begin praying for your kids. Begin pouring truth into them right now, no matter what their age. Grandma, do the same. Listen, Grandma, you got the most powerful voice in the whole family. When Grandma speaks, people listen. Use it. Use it. Speak truth. And then certainly on a day like this, we should appreciate our moms. I hope you have time or make the time to bless your mom today, to bless your grandma today. Maybe some of you are missing mom or grandma because they're in heaven. Listen, take this day and celebrate what they were. Celebrate the great things. And look forward to that day when you'll be reunited with them. Let's bow our heads. Lord, we thank you for that very special, beautiful quality that you placed in mom. Bless my sisters here this morning. Lord, I pray that you would help us all as parents to do everything we can to speak truth, to model genuine faith in the lives of our children, no matter what their age. We trust you with our children. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I'd like to extend an invitation. Maybe you're a son or daughter here this morning. You've grown up in a Christian home. You know the truth, but you've walked away. Come back. Give your life. Return your life back to Christ. Come to Him. Maybe you've never received Christ and you need to do that right now. It becomes real. Dad, husband, right now you can give your life to Jesus Christ. Your sins can be forgiven. You can become a brand new creation. Become that dad that you need to be, that husband that you need to be. Mom, maybe you've never received Christ. And it's time. Have you noticed there's an all out attack and assault on the younger generation. It's time. If that's you, I'd like to invite you to pray this prayer with me right now. Remember, Jesus died on the cross for your sins. He paid the price. He rose again that third day. And he's alive, and he will come into your life, forgive you of all your sins, become the Lord of your life, and help you and empower you. Absolutely. It can all start right now. Pray this prayer with me if that's you. Say, Lord Jesus, I invite you right now to be my Savior. I need you. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. Rising again. Make me a brand new creation. Put your Spirit in me. Help me to follow you, to live for you. To be that husband, that dad, that wife, that mother, that grandmother, that grandfather that I need to be. In Jesus' name, amen.